morning to you. We want to welcome you to Little Swatara. We also want to welcome our listening audience this morning. And we're so thankful to be here in the house of the Lord and to be in His presence this morning. We just want to point your direction to the bulletin. You'll notice the Friends with the Weather concert. The date is February 18th. So make a note, February 18th, and that's 7 p.m. here at Little Swatara Church. And you can read the little insert there about who Friends with the Weather are. We've had Mutual Kumquat here before, and you'll recognize some familiar lyrics that go along with some of the same band members that are part of the Friends with the Weather. So that's going to be a great concert here at Little Swatara on February 18th at 7 p.m. We also just want to highlight that February is going to be a marriage month, a focus on love. And you'll notice that there's an insert until the 23rd. You do a buy one, get one free for the marriage retreat. And that is at the Hershey Lodge. And you can sign up for that. There's a website on there. And that's a great experience for married couples. And we're going to follow up with that with a retreat of our own here at Little Swatara on March 31st to April 1st called the Art of Marriage Conference. So watch for more details to come concerning the Art of Marriage Conference. There'll be information on our website at littleswatara.org and also on Facebook under Little Swatara. So be sure to find that information online and also in our bulletins here at the church. We also just want to highlight our men's prayer breakfast is on the 28th, and that is at Blue Star Restaurant. That's 7 a.m. on the 28th, this coming Saturday. And next Sunday, we'll be celebrating bread and cup communion together here at the house of the Lord. Are there any other announcements you would like to highlight this morning? At this time, we'd like to invite our Haiti mission team and any deacons that are willing to come forward during this time of anointing. And our service time in Haiti is February 4th to the 11th. Our team leader is Ashley Landis, and we are just thrilled to see what God has in store for us. But we recognize the importance of separating us and allowing us to be set apart for His cause and His purpose in our lives as we prepare for this moment. So you'll notice there's an 11-member team is what we consist of, and we have varying ages, our youngest being Mr. Josh Straw, and we won't say who our oldest is, but it's a great team that God has brought together. And do I have any deacons that are willing to open us in prayer? I don't know if there's a microphone available. Any deacons that would be willing, you can use my microphone or to open us in prayer, and then what we'll do is anoint each of the team members and have a time of closing prayer. But as the Haiti mission team, are you committed to the work of the Lord, to His service, to surrendering to His will during your time in Haiti? If so, say, we are.
We are.
Are you willing to put aside what your expectations are and allow God to do what He is planning to do through this team as you serve in Haiti? If so, say, we are.
We are.
Do you desire, because of your trust and your relationship with Jesus Christ, knowing that He died and that He rose again on the third day, believing that your eternal place is in heaven, do you desire to be anointed this morning, to be set apart, to be made holy for His purposes? If so, say, we are.
We are.
Are deacon willing to open us in prayer, and then I'll begin the anointing time.
Let's bow our heads. Father, as we anticipate this call that You've given us, as we anticipate just saying, here I am, send me, Lord, we pray that You be our guidance as we pack our things and as we travel to Haiti. We pray that You touch the hearts of each one of these team members as they go forth and as they experience just different things in life, a different way, a lifestyle, as they help others, as they make new friends. We just pray that Your guidance be upon each one, that You bless each one, and that You keep each one safe in their travels. In Your name we pray, amen.
John, because of your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I set you apart for this Haiti mission. Josh, because of your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, I anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I set you apart for this Haiti mission. Diane, because of your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, I set you apart in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for His purposes for you while serving in Haiti. Cheryl, because of your faith and trust in Jesus, I set you apart in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for His purposes. Pam, your trust and faith in Jesus, I anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I entrust Him to you and His purposes for you in Haiti. Ashley, as our team leader, I anoint you specially for your service and for your commitment to leading this team in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. May you be given courage, may you be given strength to lead this team. Patty, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I anoint you for his purposes and set you apart for his will as you serve in Haiti. Leah, I set you apart in the name of the Father and anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we just entrust you to the Lord's service while you serve in Haiti.
And Matt, we anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We trust you with this mission.
And Father, we thank you for this team that you have called. We know, Father, anxiety may be building. We know the fear that we may have going into unknown territory. But Father, we're trusting you. We're surrendering to you. And we also anoint Dan as he's home right now and just ask you to set him apart and anoint him in a special way. And we just pray, Father, that you would use us. We're just saying, here we are. Use us. And we're so thankful you've called this team together. And we just pray as the time of departure arrives, you would just protect us. You would guard our hearts and you would allow us to be vessels and to be beacons of light to shine and just let your love flow through us. And we just thank you for each team member and just ask that you would just let us know that you are there with us each and every step of the way. And we just trust you, Father. And we know that you have a great plan, a great purpose for us as we serve, as we build in Haiti. May you prepare that place now for us as we anticipate its arrival. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, and Lord bless you. If you would like to rise, our opening hymn this morning, appropriate for our time of considering what God has in store, is Take My Life, number 389.
Thank you.
It's always an encouraging time, an uplifting time to be able to come before the Lord with our joys and concerns. There'll be a microphone coming around. We simply ask you to put your hand in the air, and we'd love to hear from you this morning. And remember to continue to pray for those prayer concerns you'll find in your bulletin on a daily basis. Again, it's good to be here in the house of the Lord, and we continue to lift up our listening audience as well. Any joys or concerns this morning? Let's pray. Father, we continue to look to you for our strength, for our encouragement in these days. Father, you know the struggles we're facing. You know the joys in our lives, and we're so thankful for each season you bring us through. We think, Father, of those on our prayer concerns and lift them by name, Rufus and Dorothy and Ruth and John and Carl and Faye and Earl and Carol and Pete and Bonnie and Amanda and Lauren. And we lift up the Bruce Moore family and ask for your comfort. We lift up Mike and ask your healing, and Ruth and your healing upon her, and Ruth Ann and Sue Ellen and Pastor John and Deb and your healing upon them. And Father, for our individuals here this morning and for our listening audience, Father, we pray that you would enter into their lives and make yourself known as we go through various aspects of life. We know, Father, we struggle. We know that we find indifference. But Father, through it all, we know we can find you because you desire to be made known. So we pray, Father, that we would continually seek you and we would continually make your name known. Forgive us, Father, for those sins in our lives. Forgive us for when we don't do what you've asked us to do. But we continue to pray, Father, for our mission team to Haiti and ask you, Father, to just give them peace and allow them to know that they're in your will as they serve. And we're just so thankful, Father, for the way that you continually work in our midst and continually move. And we just pray, Father, that you would just let yourself be overwhelmingly consumed in this life we lead. And we thank you, Father, for reminding us of who you are. And we thank you for your word. We thank you for the rest and assurance that we have in our salvation. And we just pray, Father, if anyone may not know you, that they would come to know you as the Son, the one sent to pay the price for our sins, to die on the cross. But that tomb did not remain with occupation, but it was unoccupied on that third day. And we rejoice in that wonderful news that the tomb is empty and eternal life is available for us who confess our sins and receive you as our Lord and Savior. So thank you, Father, for our salvation, and thank you for the opportunity to be in a relationship with you. We just continue now, Father, to just lift up those concerns in our hearts, and we just take a brief pause during this time to lift up those concerns and also to confess our sins. Hear our prayers. We thank you for forgiveness. We thank you for your goodness. We know, Father, as we turn to this world and we put our hope and trust in this world, things will let us down. But we pray, Father, we would put our hope in you and we would put our trust in you, knowing that eternity is at hand. And we thank you, Father, that these lives can be led in such a way that we're mindful of you and make others aware of who you are through the way we act and the way that we treat others with love and respect and the way that we speak with wholeness. So, Father, create in us a new creation. Allow us to let that old self continue to die. And we just praise you, Father, for this incredible day that you have given us and this opportunity to share who you are to this world. Be with us now as we continue to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please turn to 395. Here I am, Lord.
As our offertory thought this morning, O God, you are my God. I seek you, my soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints for you. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water, so I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. I will bless you as long as I live. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to give, to be cheerful givers, knowing that you have given us an abundance. And so we turn to you in that abundance and we turn to you a portion of what you have so freely given us. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity to share in the abundance that you have given us. And we pray, Father, that you would be blessed. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Can I have any other children come up front for a children's story? Guys, can I have a volunteer? I'm gonna, LJ, you put your hand up first. You can sit right here at this bottom step here so everyone can see. Are you strong? Do you think you're pretty strong? Okay, good, because I'm gonna tie you up. Before I get started, can anybody tell me what a habit is? Yes.
Tape?
No, that's a good guess. A habit, anybody else?
Statue.
Yeah?
It's like a habit is like how it's like a museum with all like pets that live there.
Oh no, habitat. Very good though. A habit is kind of something that we can get stuck in doing. We can have good habits and we can have bad habits. And what happens is we repeat these a thought or an action over and over again. And eventually you do it without even thinking. Kind of like, do you know anyone who like bites their nails? And you can do that easily without even thinking. It just becomes something you're just doing. Or what's a good habit?
I know what that means.
Yeah?
A habit is something you choose. It's not what your friends choose, it's what you choose.
Okay, thank you. So these black ties here are gonna represent some bad habits that we can kind of get stuck doing sometimes. And with each of these ties, LJ, I'm gonna tie you up and see what happens when we become weighed down with bad habits. Okay, first let's put your hands together. And does anybody wanna give me a bad habit? Does anybody know of any? Yes. But, oh yeah, that's good. That's not a good habit. What about like some really bad habits, like sins? Or not bad sins, just stuff we get stuck kind of doing, like making fun of kids on the playground. That can be this one. Or maybe we start talking back to our parents. You don't really think about doing that. You just start talking back to your parents, and before you know it, every time they ask you to do something, you got a smart answer. Not a good smart. Yeah?
I'm calling friends names.
Yes, calling names. Excellent. So these are really bad habits that can weigh us down and kind of keep us like bonded, right? Where you can't really move. And all of a sudden, before you know it, you're stuck. The Bible says that that this makes us a slave to sin. Sin being our master, and we are unable to break free. Can you break free, LJ? Try. Oh, well, don't. Oh, that's cheating. I didn't want to tie him too tight. Here, I have a verse to kind of help us with that, okay? Do you, this is why I had the scissors over there. There you go. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word and are truly my disciples," I'm gonna throw these away, guys, actually. I'll take that, Anthony. Yeah, thank you. This way, and then I'll just throw them away because this was just for demonstration. Oh, it's okay, honey.
I'm really good, go.
Maybe, let me finish this verse. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word and are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus died and rose again to set us free and to help us break free from the bondage of sin, okay? Let's say a little prayer. Lord, thank you so much for the gift of your son, Jesus, who came to earth and he lived and then he died and then he rose again so that, Lord, we can turn to you and confess our sins and you will forgive us. And we thank you so much for that gift, Lord, that we can turn to you and you will help us in all of our walks with you. Please be with these little children up here, Lord. Just lead them in your direction. In your name, amen. Great. Thanks, guys.
Could you try tying me? I'm really good.
There were two men who lived in a village that got in a heated argument they could not resolve. So they decided to talk to the town sage. The first man went to the sage's home and told his version of what happened. When he finished, the sage said, "You're absolutely right." The next night, the second man called on the sage and told his side of the story. The sage too responded, "You're absolutely right." Afterward, the sage's wife scolded her husband. "Those men told you two different stories, and you told both of them they were absolutely right. That's impossible. They can't be both absolutely right." And the sage turned to his wife and said, "You're absolutely right." We have this same type of conflict, this same type of battle within ourselves. The flesh, when it speaks to us, is trying to convince us, trying to deceive us that it is absolutely right. Deceiving, convincing us to follow its longings and its wants. Tommy Lasorda, the former Los Angeles Dodgers manager, described his battle with the inner self like this. "I took a pack of cigarettes from my pocket. I stared at it and I said, 'Who's stronger, you or me?' The answer was me, and I stopped smoking. Then I took a vodka martini and said to it, 'Who's stronger, you or me?' Again, the answer was me. I quit drinking. Then I decided to go on a diet. I looked at a big plate of linguine with clam sauce and said, 'Who's stronger, you or me?' And this little clam looked up at me and said, 'I am.'" Lasorda went on to say, "There's no defeating linguine with clam sauce." Friends, there's a battle within to defeat the deceit. And the deceit takes on varying degrees throughout our lives. But as with any opponent, we need to know how to compete, how to stay in the fight, and ultimately, how to win the battle. And that defeat begins when we know what we're up against. Now, I'm certain the Steelers have been watching film after film on the Patriots. And the Packers are watching and studying the film on the Falcons. And you can bet it's going the other way. And both teams have studied and studied and know the patterns, the schemes, the weaknesses, and the strengths about their opponent. The more we study, the more we know the battle plan to gain victory. And it's no different with our spiritual life. Day in, day out, we make choices. We make decisions, and then we draw conclusions that shape our lives as followers of Christ. You see, there's this constant battle between right and wrong, between good and evil that plagues our minds. But friends, we rest in our salvation knowing that the ultimate victory belongs to the Lord. And as we strive to be the definition of God's love to others, we recognize all humanity has sinned. We all fall short of God's glory. But friends, as we press on, as we press into who God made us to be, and as we see ourselves for who we truly are, I pray as we learn more about the enemy, we start to hate the sinful side. And we continually move toward and live in the new self created by Christ's forgiveness and freedom. It's easy, really. Like someone once said, if we want to know how we're doing as a follower of Christ, we only need to ask those who are closest to us. But therein lies the stumbling block. Many of us don't like to be told we're not living the way we should. And the moment we start to point another's fault out, our guards go up, defending the deceit that's entered this earthly tent. Yet, friends, when we open ourselves to the possibility that we could be better Christians, there's a growth factor that's bound to take place. You see, we were never intended to travel a straight line through life, to maintain the status quo, to do just enough to get by. You see, the closer we draw to God, the closer we look like His Son, the closer heaven will be to earth. But friends, we know very well we're never content. We're never satisfied. We're never happy in our sinful state. Instead, friends, we're blessed. We're more than happy to be in right relationship with God. We know Psalm 112:1, it reads, "Blessed is the one who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in His commands." It's all a matter of pursuing God. It's all a matter of falling in love over and over again with Him and seeing the goodness that He offers. The key in all this is drawing the battle lines between loving this world and loving our Heavenly Father. Now think about that for a moment. Everything that goes on in this world, having our own way, wanting everything to ourselves, appearing more important than others, it has nothing really to do with the Father. As a matter of fact, it only isolates us. So the bottom line is this: the more we fall in love with God, the less attracted we'll be to the things that deceive and defeat us. Romans 4:7-8, I pray we could put this upon our hearts. It reads, "Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them." This is what makes faith in God's promises so rich. It's what makes the cross and the empty tomb the greatest statements of defeat. The enemy's deceit, his craftiness, his sly nature will come to an epic end at the second coming of Christ. What a eager anticipation we have until that momentous event takes place. But in the meantime, friends, we carry on in Jesus' name, being aware of the enemy's schemes, prepared at all times to defeat the deceit he throws our way. We're affirmed in 1 John 2:15 that the world and its desires will pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. John 10:10 informs us, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." And when we study his plan, we conclude quickly he's out to exploit. There's no part of us that can say the enemy wants what's best for us. He doesn't have our back, friends. He's only looking out for number one and in the business of bringing death to what Jesus offers further along in that verse. He himself saying these words, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." How many of us this morning, how many of you in the listening audience desire life to the full? When you look at that glass we'll call life, do you long for it to be half empty? Or do you long for it to be half full? But not only half full, as Christ offers us, he overflows it. He fills it with a life we can't begin to imagine and live amidst. The writer, the theologian, C.S. Lewis wrote this: "No man knows how bad he is until he has tried to be good." And here's what happens. God's Spirit will lead us to do what is right, but the voiceover of the enemy deceives us to do what is wrong. What matters then is the choice to defeat the deceit. We can always tell which team wants to win more. There's this passion, there's this pursuit for victory. It's as if the opponent has already given up. They feel defeated. But friends who are in Christ, there is no reason for us to feel defeat. For we know that our victory is in the Lord. But in our text today, Paul puts it this way when it comes to our sin, Romans 7:15 to 25. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Verse 20. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? And friends, here is the comfort. Here is the good news this morning. Verse 25, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. Oh God, how we thank you for your word. How we thank you that it reminds us of the sin nature that still resides within us. But Father, we know that you have come, that you have resided within us to bring us a new creation. So we pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that we would live in the new and let go of the old. May it be so in Jesus' name. Amen. In our text this morning, Paul is describing his own personal struggle with his battle within to defeat the deceit. He's describing his opponent, the old sin nature. His struggle is deep. Friends, our struggle is deep. For we know that it's with our own flesh. It's a war that wages within us, battling with all its fury and force the moment that we've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Yet, that old nature longs to be in charge. It longs to continue to battle. The sage's wife was correct. They both cannot be right. Only the Lord Jesus will lead us into paths of righteousness. We know from our text today in Romans that the apostle Paul had this very same fight. He fought to defeat the deceit. Now I'd imagine, I want to believe that most followers of Christ long to please God. Their intention is to live within his will. There's this overwhelming desire, I pray it so, to be a light in the world, to make a difference in the lives of others. But yet, friends, the battle lines have been drawn. We face a formidable foe with each decision we make. The thought, the voice that comes to steal, kill, and destroy remains. The deceit, it contains us. It covets its own desires. This battle raging within this sinful nature continues through our lifetime. Listen again to how Paul described it. I do not understand my own action, he said. I do the very thing I hate. I do not do the good I want to do, Friends, there's joy in knowing we did wrong. Why would I say that? Why would I say there's joy in knowing we did wrong? There's times that we feel like hypocrites. There's times that we convince ourselves there must be something spiritually wrong with me. There's times we even doubt our salvation. And friends, that can be a very good thing, because it means we're thinking. It means we have a God conscience. Otherwise, what would happen? We'd go on sinning and we'd care less. The fact that we know we did wrong indicates we know what would have been right. Furthermore, leads us to not only repentance, but striving to do what we should do. It's what we call life in process. Progress is being made. Paul's words speak to us when it said, "Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death?" I'm sure all of us have found ourselves in a place where God was asking us to do something, but we found ourselves doing something else instead. There's no doubt there's a power struggle going on inside of us. And friends, we're caught in between. It's so easy to grab hold of something in our minds, and no matter how hard we try, we can't seem to let it go. My wife can tell you all sorts of stories about that. The struggle is real. There's the inception of anger that leads to rage. There's pride, there's lust, there's envy, there's jealousy, there's bitterness. But letting it go points to the fact the spirit is willing. But as we very well know, the flesh is weak. We actually think we have a hold of something, but in reality, it has a hold of us. It's evident in the way we approach life, in the way we approach relationships, and even in the way we approach God. You see, we get a hold of something in our minds, and when we won't let go, it slowly but surely begins to destroy us. It steals our joy. I'm certain there's a lot of people here today and in our listening audience who love God and want God's best. Yet we continue to battle to defeat the deceit. The Bible makes it clear that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Friends, the answer is in front of us. Confessing our sins to Jesus, to the one we call our Lord and Savior. But in order to confess, we need to acknowledge the sin. We must call them what they are, name them, identify them, and then, friends, ask in Jesus' name for God's forgiveness. And He's so gracious, so very gracious. Not only does He forgive our sins, but He separates them as far as the east is from the west, and then He throws them into the sea of forgetfulness, remembering them no more. If we've lived the Christian life long enough, we can truly identify with the Apostle Paul's words, "Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death?" And then Paul goes on to proclaim the answer. "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Indeed, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We call on the one who is the creator of life, the one who died for our sins, the one who loves us unconditionally, and His name is Jesus. Would you say that name with me this morning? Jesus.
Jesus.
Oh, Jesus, we pray that You would break the ties that bind us. We pray that You would release the anger that ensnares us. We pray that You would help us with the frustrations in this life. We pray for the fullness of life. We pray to the forgiveness found at the cross that we would cling to. We surrender, Father, to your will. And we ask for your strength. We ask for your almighty power to help us to defeat the deceit in our lives. Amen. During our final hymn, there's going to be a time of anointing. And in the book of James, it says to call upon the elders of the church if you're afflicted, if you are feeling sickness. But I'd also encourage us, if we're struggling in sin, to call upon the Lord to be anointed, to allow the struggle to end, to face the uncertainty with certainty that our God does save. Let us rise for our closing hymn, and there'll be deacons in the back for anointing as well as individuals in the front for anointing. Pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather in your name. We thank you for the protection over our lives. We thank you for the guidance through the Holy Spirit. And we just continue to pray, Father, that you would speak to our very life, to the sins that we find ourselves amidst, and to help us to find freedom. For we know that you went to the cross. We know that you conquered death, and that we can indeed experience freedom in this life. Our glasses called life can be full and overflowing. So, Father, as we continue to seek you, continue to find ways to show others your love, may we be mindful of those sins that have crept into our lives, and may we be repentant, and may we turn to you in this very hour, knowing that you long for us to shine light into this world. May we now go in peace. May we now go remembering your Son, Jesus, the reason for our existence. Amen and amen.